Good evening, everybody. We'll call to order the Wednesday, June 12th meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. And would you please do the roll call, Ms. Cassiola?
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
Vice President Joy Sunnison?
Here.
President Varney?
Here. Please join me in the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Are there any comments on the agenda? Seeing none. Closed session report from our special meeting held previous to this one.
Yes, good evening. Prior to tonight's meeting, the board met in closed session to discuss two items, real property negotiations regarding the fire divestiture issues and the public employment of the district council. No action was taken that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Thank you. Do we have any public comment for matters not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move to special presentations and reports, beginning with the Commander Ian Dowdy of the Sheriff's South Station.
All right, good evening, board. So going over our statistics for May for Oceano, we had 344 calls for service. The year prior, we had 426, so some reduction in that. We had one report of a felony assault or battery, 33 calls for disturbance. We had zero burglary reports, two petty thefts, one vandalism, zero mail theft, 32 assist other agencies, eight calls for suspicious circumstances, 38 enforcement stops, traffic or pedestrian, 12 arrests, and zero Narcan usage by deputies.
Any questions from any directors?
No, thank you.
Staff?
I think
we're any
all right.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Dowdy. Next is our operations report from System Manager Mr. Maricino. Yeah.
Good evening, board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So Lopez is currently at 99.8% full, which is 49,358 acre feet. We had zero sewer system overflows in the month of May. We got delivered about 52 acre feet of surface water, and we barely pumped just for water quality samples. We're continuing to do our weekly and monthly samples. We had 9 work orders, 15 USAs, and 11 customer service calls. We had one after-hours call-out. There was a asphalt company that's doing work at the elementary school. We had one resident actually call me directly on my phone. They saw a water truck that was tied to a fire hydrant, and it was not being metered. And we had a second resident that also noticed that notified the office. Once they responded out there, instructed them what they were doing incorrectly, and we got them a hydrant meter, and they were unaware that it was our hydrant. They thought it was Grover's, coordinated with Grover to ensure that they communicated with Grover. And so we got that all straightened out, and there is a hydrometer metering the water. So we finished our common codes from the meter reads. We are still continuing to sewer jet the sewer system. Weed abatement at the yard. We attended, the field staff attended a free class in Santa Maria regarding water valves for contact hours. We also attended the Slow Farmers Market for the Public Works Week. We had a service line repair off of Strand, and we also had a concrete to meter box in once we got exposed to the leak. We had a project over on 21st Street, the alleyway between Highway 1 and Beach, right behind Central Market, that R. Baker performed, but prior to that, we had to go out there and exercise all the valves and notify about 50 residents that the water was going to be off. There was a cross that had a 12-inch, 2 8-inches and a 6-inch valve that had to get replaced because 2 of the valves were broken. And that's currently already done. Sidewalk's poured back. They're just going to be doing the asphalt tomorrow. We'll be able to open up that alleyway here on Friday. All right. We did some deadhead flushing and Helena to keep up the water quality. First of the month equipment runs. We cammered and sewer cleaned all the hotspot laterals in our system. We had to replace a few spigots on the sample stations. We had a sanitary survey inspection completed by DDW, Division of Drinking Water, and we will be getting a report later on from that on their findings or anything we got to correct. I'll update you on that later as soon as I get it. We also had a hit hydrant yesterday at the 2400 block of Wellmar. And as you probably noticed, we had quite a few customers calling about low water pressure, and that's correct. The hydrant was taken out for about 10-15 minutes. Fire department showed up and nobody notified us until the fire department was on scene. And then they asked about the water department, got out there, got it shut off. And we do have an incident report and it will be under insurance because it was the contractors on the development that hit it. All right, and as for tank one, we'll give you a little update. Carrie put a slideshow together and you can see the pictures and we can do a quick little discussion on tank one's rehab.
Okay.
So as you can see, that's the tank prior to anything that's being done. You got the ladder well, the site indicator, the overshot, and what safety railing you do see up on top. As you can see, that's what the top of it looks like. It was getting deteriorated, rusting out. Just wanted to show you some before. So these are the rafters that were on the inside, and the condensation that builds up, you cannot access those to maintain them to prevent the rust. So we changed the design, you will see later on in the picture, to prevent that from happening. So here's the crane. They are removing the top of the roof, the ladder well, or the ladder. The site indicator's gone and the overshot, they had to take off the top part and they're moving the top right now. So actually they're putting a lift in there once the top's removed, so they put scaffolding on the inside so they can start welding in the new roof. So there's the scaffolding that they put in there with the man lift you see in the picture. And so they can get up there and weld the roof together both inside and out. So that is our staircase. The staircase is put on this so we do not need any more fall protection. We can actually just walk right up top. And then the hand railing, it's going to be 360 degrees on top. Mm-hmm. So you can see there, we've got the staircase. It is a hot dip galvanized steel, so it will not be painted. That's the color you're actually going to see. And you got the hand railing up top, 360 degrees, so we can walk anywhere and everywhere without being tied off having fall protection. And there is a reason why we did it, and I'll explain it later. So right now they're starting to put the scaffolding all the way around it and put containment so they can start sandblasting the exterior and then start painting it. There it is, completely in containment, sandblasting, and painting it.
Wow.
So here's the top. Remember the support beams you saw on the inside? Now they're on the outside. So you got a smooth surface on the inside. So the condensation has nowhere to really build up and start deteriorating from the inside. And we will own and maintain the exterior and anything that you see right there. It'll definitely prolong the life of the tank. Mm-hmm. That's going up there monthly, checking on it. Any little rust spot appears, we can start putting epoxy and coating and paint on there ourselves. There's the staircase. It's quite steep, but that's how they're designed. You know, it's a lot easier to access than climbing up a ladder straight 32 feet.
Oh, God.
It's nice to have. That's it. All right. Any questions?
Thank you for that. That was impressive.
Yes, so they are currently working on the interior right now, sandblasting and coating the inside. That's going to take another week, week and a half, and then we're looking for a 5-day soak test. And then when we start requiring all our samples, VOCs, back T. So we're looking about July 9th. Hopefully back online.
Wow. Mr. That's President.
Wonderful. Nice.
If I may add, Tony took me up these steep stairs, so I got to walk on the top of the tank and take a look at it. It's an impressive rehab. I also wanted to add to Mr. Maravicino's report, the 2023 water flyer that went out had a little bit, just basically a typo information on it. We're going to correct that, put it back up on the website. We did indeed pump groundwater in 2023, but we'll make sure the corrected flyer is up and explained on the website.
The total amount of acre feet was incorrect. I basically, the acre feet that we pumped, I put it as a total when you add up all three sources. I did make that mistake, and we will get that corrected. Yeah.
Well, this is wonderful, this tank. It's got to be great for you that, as far as safety.
Oh, it's absolutely.
I mean, I couldn't stand the thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, this is great for everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
So how, when was that originally?
That tank?
Yeah, that tank.
Believe it or not, that's the newest tank.
Uh-huh.
1991, and we've repaired the top once. The other tank is 1978, and we've repaired the top twice and coated it both times, and same with the other tank. Mm-hmm. It's just the environment and how close we are to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It takes a beating, even with the moisture.
It takes a beating.
The proximity of that ocean water.
Mm-hmm. But these design changes are really essential to much more resilient.
Oh, absolutely. Longevity
situation. Yeah,
is going to be amazing.
Uh-huh. Well, great. Thank you very much
Thank
for this
you.
Show. Yeah. Uh-huh. Good job. Next, I'd like to welcome Mr. Peter Brown, our new general manager, to his first official meeting and your first general manager report to us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, thank you, President Varney, members of the board. It's great to be here. I wanted to go over a little bit of my activity over the last week or so by way of update. The slide before you is a result of the May 29th SLOCOG board action where they awarded $970,000 in community betterment grants to the County Public Works Department for improvements in Oceano. This will come up again in item 9A. This is basically going to be seed money, the $970,000 for the ATP grant that we're going to discuss a letter of approval for. But the bottom line is we're looking at sidewalk improvements, ADA ramps, and crossings on 19th Avenue, Warner, and Vista near Oceana Elementary School. And this is money in hand. So the item we're going to talk about in 9A is future grant opportunities. But this is nearly $1 million coming to our community via County Public Works. On Wednesday, June 5th, I attended the RAC meeting, the Water Resources Advisory Committee. That's controlled and run by the SLO County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. That was an informative meeting. We actually had Dave Hovde there from KSBY, the chief meteorologist, talking about future and current conditions. On Friday, June 5th, I attended the State Water Subcontractors Advisory Committee, which is a technical committee that deals with state water. We do have the opportunity this year to actually sell some surplus water that is at risk of spilling, and this is kind of the first time the district is going to look at selling surplus water in a good water year and turning that potentially lost water into cash. That'll come before you at a future date. On Monday, June 10th, I attended the NCMA, the Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group, which is mostly made up of the five cities and deals with the Santa Maria groundwater technical issues. And then today I attended the Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee, which is made up of the five cities, San Miguelito, CSA 12, Avila, and an ag member. So I've also been spending some time with staff, getting to know them, getting to know some of the local businesses, and really enjoying my new job. So I'm very happy to be here and happy to be assisting you all in this effort.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and Carrie, just real quick, the final thing I almost forgot, in terms of the Zone 3 TAC today, and I printed a handout because this is a little difficult. Mr. Maricino talked about Lopez being 99.8% full. This graph is nice because it kind of looks at the state of Lopez from June 2022 when it dipped down to one of its lowest levels ever at nearly 10,000 acre feet, so that's the green line. And then with the big storms we had in late 22, early 23, we've got up to nearly 100%, which is around 50,000 acre feet, and we've kind of stayed there. The green line ends at around the current date, and then both the red and the yellow line project current future scenarios for the red line is a normal rain year, where we expect Lopez to stay, you know, relatively full. And then the yellow is if we had a no rain scenario. So even under a no rain scenario for the next year and a half, we're still looking at staying around 80% full at Lopez. So that's nice. Just to explain the bottom numbers, the red numbers are actual rainfall, and then the blue is the projected numbers used in the rainfall model as we anticipate how Lopez might fill out. But that's just kind of a nice tidbit of Lopez reservoir storage that we discussed at the TAC today.
Great.
Happy to take any questions on that.
Any questions?
No, I'm fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Brown. We'll move on to Board of Directors reports, beginning with Director Villa.
I also attended, I know you were going to call me first, so let me flip to that. I also attended the RAC meeting on June 5th, which is a Water Resource Advisory Committee, the same one that our general manager attended. And I will elaborate a little further. We had two presentations, one from Dave, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name right, Havdi, or he's a chief meteorologist from KSBY. And we also had one from Jeff Zatile of Water Systems Consulting. Dave's presentation mainly focused on climate change. One of his main points was that climate change is real and serious, and that most people now do believe that it is real, even though they may not agree on the causes. As you all remember, quite, you know, years ago, people were doubting that there was climate change. So he wanted to stress that most people that he encounters in the public do state that they believe that there is climate change, though the factors, the causes are disputed. He also stated that we have to have more disaster mitigation and recovery funds to deal with this climate change, and that we need more power due to growth and demand. We also need new ways to manage the variable environment that we're going to be living in. And he ended by stating that realistically, we will not meet our 2030 climate goals. Unfortunately, as depressing as that may sound, at the rate that we are going, we simply will not have enough time to do so. We need to take more action. So that's something we all need to keep in mind, that we're not doing enough and we need to do more, because we're not going to meet the goals. The second presentation dealt with regional collaboration for water resiliency. And Jeff, the presenter there, stated that regional collaborations are among the agencies, are what make agencies impossible projects or things possible. And regional collaboration allows you to reach economies of scale. It increases political influence and gives more resilience to the regions. The best example of a regional collaboration in our state here is the State Water Project, which moves water from Northern California to Southern California, and then in between helps irrigate thousands of farmland acres, which is, of course, what makes California so important and our economy so strong. And closer to home, we have the Lopez Project and the AG Dam. And that was the gist of the presentations.
Thank you. Director Gibson.
Hi, yeah, thank you. Just a short question. So on the collaboration, do they have any specific projects in mind locally, or was that just more of an overview?
It was more just for us to understand what it was and the importance of having and working to form collaborations to be more resilient when it comes to water.
Okay, thank you.
Director Gibson, do you have a report?
Nothing to report.
Director Austin?
Yes, I'm going to report on the June 5th. Meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. So the main focus of our meeting was the report on the redundancy program and the secondary clarifier repairs. So a little background, you know, this it's largely been successful. Change orders less than 3%, apart from the anticipated schedule overrun going into the summer of 2023. On July 10th, 2023, the damage to the secondary clarifier floor slab was discovered. So it took over the next few months, there were multiple cracks found in the structural slab. So we already reported before that the reason for the damage was the structural failures in the design of the floor slab. So there were errors in the design assumptions and calculations that led to the design that could not adequately withstand the upward force of the groundwater in that area. So when they identified the problem, then the rehabilitation to repair was included third-party reviews by the district. And in February 2024, it was decided what, you know, what the problem was and how they were going to fix it. So now they're working on negotiating with the proposed change orders provided by the contractor. The district also retained an independent consultant to provide a cost estimate for the work associated with the secondary clarifier repair. So we are doing a budget adjustment to pay for the repairs as they're progressing now. Kennedy Jinks was there. They gave a report. They are the responsible party. They have taken responsibility for the design flaw, and so they gave the reports on what they've been doing all along here. And their plan has always been from the beginning with Kennedy Jinks and the other three are the sanitation district and the other project managers and the contractors and everything was they're focusing on solutions to fix this in the way to keep the plant operating. And the whole focus has been on an amicable approach. They're actively supporting the project. They're there all the time. They give updates. This is an insurance claim on their insurance. So their insurance company's been involved. They're giving updates on a regular basis with the claims rep. However, the insurance company will not pay on anything that's not completed. So in order to get this job completed and online, we're doing a budget adjustment out of the reserves of the sanitation district in the amount of around $7 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the reason it has to be done is we want to continue construction without interruption and want to mitigate potential for further damages. So after, you know, extensive consultation with legal counsel and everything, decided the best course of action is to keep the project going and increase the budget to get the work needed, and it is moving right along at a great speed now. So, and on these costs, this is coming out of the reserves. The costs that are being tracked, they're being tracked separately from the overall project. And all the costs due to the design errors or omissions will be included in the claim being submitted to the design engineer. So, let's see, the So the estimate is that the whole rehabilitation will be completed by October 2024, same most likely in November. Right now the rehabilitation is, they're installing, they're called micropiles. So the floor, and it's these big, they're 63 feet long. I went over and saw them. They're big long pipes or tubes that are being installed all over the slab, and that will reinforce the slab, and it will make it resist the groundwater uplift. So the slab will be a newer, thicker slab. So they're looking more like a November finish. And then once it's finished and the insurance company claim, we will be made whole again and get the money that we've had to put out to finish this back to us. As far as the plant operations, there's been no violations of the permit. All processes are within the permit standards. So everything else is running very well and the repair is going very well. So it should be by the end of October, well, you know, it should be up and running, you know, if everything else goes as planned. It seems to be running very smooth. Everybody's working together. So it's, it was an unfortunate thing, but it's being resolved in the best possible way that protects the plant and the health and safety of our whole area here. So that's my report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments from directors?
Yeah, I had a quick question. Mm-hmm. So it looks like, were there any other options that could be done instead of, you know, having the plant essentially fund it until it's complete? I guess the only other thing would be like a lawsuit.
Well, that was the whole thing. That's
costly, what, and then would take a lot of time.
What would happen if we, because that, of course, that was brought up. Why do, you know, yeah, why can't they do it? We said, because we're the ones that are holding the, we're the plant. And so we are responsible to our communities to have the you know, it's a sanitation plant, so it has to run smoothly. So yeah, we could say, yeah, well, we're going to sue you and then stop all the work, you know. So, yeah, there was really no other. And Kennedy Jinks has been around for 105 years, and they're, you know, upstanding, I mean, company. So we have really, you know, feel pretty secure that this is all going to go,
yeah,
according to the plans that's been, you know, brought before us. So I'm comfortable with what's happening. So.
Yeah, and I remember at the time that Kennedy Jinks, you know, they stood up right away to, you know, shoulder the responsibility.
They came right out. They came this time. They were there at our meeting to assure us, you know. So I'm very comfortable with what's going on. The plant's running.
Okay.
You know, we have the really good staff, and the administrator, you know, has done an excellent, excellent job. So I think we're going to be fine.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that's very good news, and I especially am happy to hear that the engineering design folks have taken full responsibility.
Yes, they have.
And I guess the only, and I certainly understand having to dip into the reserves to get the job done.
We're lucky we have.
Right, absolutely.
Get it done, and then we'll take care of everything after. Mm-hmm. It's got to, you know, we're dealing with a sewer plant.
I guess the potential wrinkle is in the design, Kennedy Jinks, their corporate insurance, if they start, you know, squawking.
I don't think, they don't, yeah, think so.
Well, let's hope not.
The insurance agents have been involved, you know, they've been here.
Yeah.
So it's
okay. All right, thank you. Any comments from anybody else? Okay. Director Sunnison?
Nothing to report.
Okay. My turn. I'll give a brief report on O-Park.
President Varney, wasn't there a recent O-Park meeting?
Yes.
Could we have a verbal report?
I think that's what I just said. I'll give a report on O-Park.
Oh, I thought, okay. I misunderstood. I thought that the chair would give the report.
The chair was absent from the meeting. I chaired the meeting, it was a brief meeting. We one of the things that we reviewed were logos for O-Park and for the track fundraising project that were done by students at Napomo High School Graphics Department, and those we had quite a few that were submitted, and the O-Park committee members are all have those, and I've asked for each of them, if they're, you know, if they want to submit to me their top three selections for each of those two categories. And then ultimately we'll bring those to the board for your review and your ranking, and come up with a logo that everybody's comfortable with. There are some great logos that the students put together. So we'll probably have those, should have those for the July meeting, for our, we'll definitely have that together for the July OPARC meeting. And as soon as I get those rankings, we'll distribute those around to the OCSD directors for your review as well. The application to Ecologistics was completed. It was sent over. It was originally scheduled to have a hearing at their board of directors meeting this next week. That's been rescheduled to July, so we have a little more time for discussion on that topic. And in essence, those are the main items that were discussed at Oak Park.
I had one question.
Uh-huh.
I noticed that the Oceano Day of the Child is on June 23rd, and I just wondered if Oak Park was going to have a table, or, you know, participate and have a table, because it seems like that would be a really good place to have people know about Oak Park and, you know, come by and talk and, you know, see what we have.
Yes, we are going to participate. We had planned on participating all along, even though it was moved.
Okay, good idea. Thank you.
The logo, is that, you say the Napomo High School, what were they from?
The graphics design.
And how many program did they come up with?
Probably
six?
20. Yeah.
They look great.
Yeah, they went crazy. I mean, some of them are like,
very,
you know, I've got this assignment to get in tomorrow, and I better get something done. And then there's the kids that worked on it for like
great.
A week
so
or so.
Is this the logo for the Oak Park committee, or is it for
Oak Park committee?
Oh, okay.
And
that'll be interesting.
So that's just kind of how it turned out, because when Andy Stenson went over and talked with the teacher and stuff, he talked about Oak Park and he talked about this track project. And so I think that, they went at it in terms of like, okay, we've got Oak Park, and then we've got this track thing. So there's a lot of kind of, you know, visuals of a track with dolphins, as you can imagine. So it's, they're pretty cool. A lot of them really kind of captured the spirit of
Oceano. That'll be interesting
to
see.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I can tomorrow. I'd be happy. I'll send them out to all of you. You can look at the whole bunch.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we have any public comment on special presentations and reports? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Public comment on items on the consent agenda. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. And any discussion or comments from directors on the consent agenda?
Not for me.
Mr. Brown?
President Varney, I just wanted to note that one of the items on the consent agenda is item 8E, which is the approval of a request for qualification and proposal for district general counsel. Just wanted to verbalize that one of the items on your consent will be sending out that RFQ. I think we are looking at an August 9th due date, and we're looking for responses from interested legal folk to come help out the district. So that's an important item. But yeah, that's just wanted to make note of that.
Okay. I don't see that on the consent agenda.
I don't either.
I believe it's 9A under business.
Yeah, I see.
Oh, yeah, 9A. Sorry about that.
Okay.
It's the wrong one.
Okay. It is on, it's, okay. Yeah, so it is under the business items A. So we'll deal with it.
Fair enough.
Coming up quickly. So with that, let's segue into business item 9A.
Sorry, may I get a motion on?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll need a motion on 8A, B, C, and D, maybe all together.
I move that we approve the consent agenda as presented, 8A, B, C, D.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded.
Director Austin.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
Yes.
Director Villa.
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sennison.
Yes.
And President Varney.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you to staff for putting together these the minutes in such a professional manner. Item 9A. Moving on to business items. So we want to take public comment on item 9A, approved request for qualification and proposal for district general counsel. Is there any public comment on this? Seeing none, then let's move into it. We have the staff report first.
That's okay, but since there was no public comment anyways.
Yeah, okay.
So back in December, you appointed myself as the interim district counsel, and the understanding was that I was always going to be just a short timer to try to hold us over until your new general manager was selected, and then you'd go out for permanent district counsel. You now have your general manager on board, and so we will be sending out the request for qualifications and proposals for new district council. The RFQP describes the practice areas that are needed and asks proposing firms to identify the names and the hourly rates, and it's pretty close to the one you sent out last year when you were looking for district council. The RFQP requires that the proposals be submitted by August 9th, 2024. And then you would conduct, review the proposals, conduct interviews, and select a district attorney at the September 26th meeting. The only real date, though, that is important in the RFQP is the August 9th date. That is the mandatory date when all proposals have to be in. The other dates within the proposal can slide a little bit if, in fact, you know, there's conflicts or something else with interviews and everything. So with that, ask for approval of the qualifications and proposals.
Any questions, directors?
Nope.
Okay. Seeing none, looking for a motion to approve the request for qualifications and proposal.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Austin? Oh, Via.
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
And President Varney?
Yes.
He's trying to trick us.
Moving to item 9B, review and discussion of a letter of support for the Active Transportation Program Cycle 7 grant for Oceano Bicycle and Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Project. Mr. Brown?
Thank you, President Varney. We've been working with SLOCOG on this item, and we received a template letter from SLOCOG staff. Basically, the California Transportation Commission chair receives letters of support, and I think it's a good idea for this board to support the letter. We have basically an edited, what we think is a final draft before you. It really lends some credence to the CSD support. Obviously, we don't control the right-of-way. It's a county public works issue. But just letting them know that as representatives of the community, we support the active transportation program. The map that's up right now kind of looks at, you know, the level of need in terms of bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure in the community. And so this basically turns, if successful, this turns the $970,000 that SLOCOG just awarded as seed money to another $4 to $5 million to really augment these improvements. So yeah, it's a low-hanging fruit, and we would like to get the board's support of the letter. Happy to take any questions on the letter or the program.
Thank you. At this point, we'll ask if there's any public comment on item 9B. Seeing none, comments or questions from directors?
So I just wanted to clarify that they've already awarded that.
Yeah, so SLOCOG at the regional level has awarded the $970,000 for what amounts to the orange, I mentioned Vista, Warner, and 19th. Mm-hmm. What this letter of support does is it kind of solidifies the CSD's support of an active transportation grant at the state level, and that would augment the size and scope of the number of sidewalk improvements. It also includes bike lane improvements. You can see the green lines there on the map, really improving those streets with bicycle signage, striping, and really enhancing the pedestrian and bicycle safety in the community. So yeah, it's the ATP program, the Active Transportation Program at the state level. I think this is the seventh round that they've had it. They put out millions of dollars every 2 years. It's a very competitive program. So I would say that, you know, we should be cautiously optimistic that we may get the funds, but many, many communities don't get them because typically they get a 9-to-1 ratio of requests to awards.
Right.
So,
yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think the letter is a very good idea. So thank you.
I want to clarify, so the 970, we're definitely going to get the Vista. Say that again. What,
correct. So the board, SLOCOG's board, if you want to go back to that other map, Carrie, on Wednesday, the last Wednesday in May, they awarded the County Public Works Department, I think it's the first slide, just go back to the other one you were on, up, and then go up. So they awarded this small little section of sidewalk improvements, pedestrian crossings, and ADA ramps. So this we're getting.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure. That's, and this that's, is on Vista. Is this over on, you say Vista?
Yeah, 19th, Warner, and Vista.
Okay.
And that is improvements that's we're getting, and we know those are true. As you can see, the SLOCOG comments, this community betterment grant will be used as a local match for the Active Transportation Program Cycle 7 grant, requesting an additional $4 million, totaling $5 million if you count the 970. And so that really expands the scope of the project. And this is really important. So this is essentially almost a 24% match to the ATP program. And that's one of the big criteria for being successful. They typically want high match amounts. And we've got that with, okay, in working with the County Public Works Department.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Other comments? I'd just like to say that this is a very wonderful thing to see, and the history of this small piece of a project, actually the improvements on 19th Street were originally, in terms of the complete sidewalk on the east side of 19th Street, this is, for those of you that aren't familiar, I mean, this is the main entry into Oceano Elementary School on the east side. And it is a 20 minutes of crazy zone at morning drop-off time. And no sidewalks on where that orange is. And so part of this plan here is to try and get some complete streets where parents would feel comfortable dropping their child off over on 20th so they could walk the block down, and then there's a crossing guard there to, you know, protect them going across the street to alleviate some of the congestion there. The 19th Street improvements were originally part of the recharge project, but as the delays in getting that implemented, the inflation went up, and so the project had to be scaled back, and so that was what was taken out. These were also part of a grant that the Lucia Marr School District, SLOCOG, and the Oceano Advisory Council collaborated on in the last cycle for ATP, so that would be 22, in putting together a grant for a large project, upwards of $20 million. And this was designed to be applied for and supported by federal infrastructure and inflation reduction monies. And I and other people put about a year into putting together that grant proposal with the handshake understanding with the county that they were going to be supporting it. And then at about 20 days before submission of the grant, the county said that they could not support it or sign off on it, and so we missed that opportunity. In the interim, over the years, you know, there's been a lot of work with SLOCOG, a lot of collaboration between community organizations and SLOCOG, meetings here in Oceano. The California Transportation Commission was down here about 6 months ago, and I and Wanda Monson, the chair of the school Safe Routes to Schools committee, were given a call and invited to come down and meet with them, and we walked around the community, and they were it was a very valuable meeting, and them having their eyes on it, and they were very, very supportive of, you know, the need in our community. And so I'm hopeful that if this grant gets, you know, it's going to be submitted, not if, when the grant application is submitted, that it will land on favorable eyes up in Sacramento, and you know, we may have a potential for that. So it's really great to see this. It's a very, very positive for our community. One of the things that shows up on the larger map is that there is not one street in our community that is a complete street. Not one. Over 100-year-old community. And
yeah, and just so it's a little hard to read the legend, but yellow is no sidewalk. I mean, that is just about the whole community. And so this project, I think it's orange shown there, it's a little tougher to see, but we're looking at 20 blocks of improvements if we are to get the ATP grant, the $4 million.
Yeah, there are. Thank you, Mr. Brown, for that. There are sections, I mean, blocks that are complete. I mean, there's curbs, gutters, and sidewalks on both sides of the street, but there's no continuous street. I mean, you look at Paso Robles, especially the east-west or north-south, they all have gaps, and that is very much tied into flood control, stormwater runoff. Every year, you know, people are talking about, gosh, you know, there's water running through my yard, down into my basement, and it's just, you know, it's, people have learned to live with it, but it's a challenge. So this is when you're putting in curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, when you're making streets safe, you're also dealing with stormwater control too.
Halcyon still doesn't have curbs, gutters, or sidewalks, so Oceano's not the only place.
The water recharge project up by the school, I noticed the trees are really growing well. It really looks nice now. It's when those trees get up, that whole area is really, it's nice.
Yeah, yeah, and good. I mean, imagine that project multiplied out, you know, and that is the new standard. You don't run water down the curbs, you get it underground. And all of those alleys that we have, could be potentially places to do retention basins underground. So anyway, so that's one of the things that, you know, Mr. Brown is so excited about being here in Oceano. There's all these opportunities, and they really are great opportunities, you know. So, okay. So looking for a motion to support submission of the letter of support for.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Seconded.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Joy Sunnison?
Yes.
And President Varian?
Yes.
Okay, let's just.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now to the main feature tonight and the presentation by our business manager, Ms. Cassiola, our district budget status as of March 31st, and then we will segue into the, we'll do public comment and stuff on that, and then segue into a workshop on the budget.
Thank you, President Varney, members of the board. So yes, in 9C, we have prepared the third budget quarter review, and this is for our current year, so 2023-2024. So this is the review as March 31st, 2024. This item has been reviewed and recommended to your board by OFAB. We had a meeting on May 23rd, and we'll start with our administration fund. So this is in the general fund. So this is where our property taxes are collected, and they are estimated to be higher than budgeted, and this is based on the county's estimated revenues and assessed values from the assessor's office. So they've predicted that June 30th will be $55,000 over what we budgeted originally. Then in expenditures, the administrative fund, they're tracking better than they were in the second quarter. That's mostly because of our legal fees have gone down and our training. We had a lot of classes and training we went to in the second quarter. And based on the fourth quarter review, which we'll do in July after the year closes out, we'll see if we have to do any budget adjustments to services and supplies. But if we continue on the pace we are, we should be fine. So it's important to note that all the expenditures in this fund, so that second line, they're all allocated out to the other funds, including all the funds. So that means 3% to fire, 1% to lighting, 0.5% to parks and rec, 1.5% to facilities, 60% to water, 30% to sewer, and 4% to garbage. So they are all allocated out to them on that admin allocation. And I'll talk about the admin allocation in our next presentation as well, but that's for this current year. So our second fund is the fire fund. So expenditures in the fire fund are under budget by about $13,000. And it's important to know that the current year for Five Cities Fire, we paid a contract of $1.15 million. And that's for just this year. Obviously, we'll talk about it in the next presentation. It'll be different next year. The lighting fund. So this is coming in right in budget with about $4,600 in savings. Nothing exciting's happened in there, so that's a good thing. Our parks and rec budget. So the members of the Oceano Parks and Rec Committee, so they had prepared the California Parks grant application for the field trip to school, which your board also reviewed, I think, in September and approved. So tonight, everything is basically just a receive and file, except for here in the Parks and Rec budget, we're going to formally accept the budget adjustment for $15,904 for the Parks California grant we received, and that'll both be in revenues and expenditures. Facilities funds. So you can see here facilities fund, it looks like our revenues are coming way under budget, but that's because at the beginning of the year, we had predicted or we budgeted for all the EV stations at all three locations, and we ended up only moving forward with the one at the water yard. So the revenues we expected in that grant, obviously we didn't get because we didn't apply for that, but you'll see that equal the same expense line will show a huge savings as well. And we also didn't get the Clean California grant that we had expected to get for the Highway 1 project. So that's why there's such large differences there in facilities funds. But other than that, everything else in that budget seems to be looking well, except for we did replace an auto opener for the gate for the sheriff's building, and that put us budget over budget on one line item for $6,000, but we have savings to cover that. So then the first enterprise fund we're going to go over is the water fund. So as of March 31st, 2024, we have collected 5 of our 6 billing cycles because we bill bi-monthly. And with that, we've received 92% of our revenue so far. And we've prepared a revenue comparison in your budget packet that's on page 80. It shows the targeted revenues versus what we're actually collecting. You can see we're collecting higher than we expected. And then we always have those front-loaded expenses in the water fund that always seem to look high in the beginning of the year because we pay them up front. So things like State Water, Lopez, and then they, by the end of the year, they're right where we budgeted, and they are exactly where we thought they'd be.
And that goes. Are you comfortable with directors asking you a question in process here?
Of course.
In case any.
Yeah, stop me if you need me.
Rather than trying to wait till the end.
Sorry. So
just want to. No, that's good. Okay.
Yeah,
just
yell at me.
Yeah.
Oh, and then another line item in the water budget that is higher than we expected, but it should even out, is when the tank went down, when we took it down for the rehabilitation project, we ended up replacing the isolation valves and earthquake retrofit outlet piping. So while it was drained out, we replaced those since it was a good opportunity to do that. So, but that should level out by the end of the year. The next fund is the wastewater fund. So the same goes for revenues. 5 of the 6 billing cycles have been collected. We'll have one more in the fourth quarter. And as a result, we've recognized about 84% of our wastewater revenue from the wastewater rates. Then in expenditures, you can see they're tracking very under budget, mostly from salaries and wages, but staff is moving towards sewer jetting in the upcoming quarter, so that may level out. Yeah, of course.
President Varney and Ms. Cassiola, maybe you have an idea. You know, typically when you're looking at wastewater revenues, they almost always track, but it looks like we might be collecting $19K more. Is there an easy reason why we might be over collecting what we budgeted?
Yeah. So with the contract with Optimize Investment Partners, based on the reserves, and they were helping us with our investments, we're over budget in all the investments, and that'll go with each fund. But it's pretty obvious in the wastewater fund because we're pretty used to just $400,000 each year, because obviously you guys know the rates don't go up. Like the water fund does. So you can see there is a difference this year because of that Optimize Investment Partners. But you'll see in the next item, we have set aside funds for a rate study in the wastewater fund. And it is important to know we haven't raised the rate since 2011 in the wastewater, so that will be an upcoming. But I will cover that as well more. Is that anything else? Or okay. And then we have our garbage fund. So the revenues from our franchise fees from South County Sanitary Services, they're coming in right in budget. And you can see we have a savings there in expenditures, also results mostly from salaries and wages. And with that, if you guys have any specific questions on any of the budget worksheets or line items or my presentation, I'd be happy to answer them. But just do know when it does come to the appropriate time, I will need a motion for that budget adjustment for the Parks and Rec, the California grant, California Parks grant for $15,904. Thank you.
Comments, questions?
So was this the workshop or you did the review?
No, this is just the third quarter review. That'll be in 9D. The next item,
okay,
the workshop.
So I don't think I have any questions.
Okay.
I'll wait till the workshop.
So do you want the motion now on the budget adjustment?
Probably since we'll, yeah, I think it'd be cleaner probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they are separate agenda items.
Right. Do you want to just reiterate one more time?
Oh, of course.
What that yeah. motion,
yeah.
content of that motion would be to approve the...
approve a budget adjustment for the Parks California grant for the field trips to state parks and beaches program for $15,904.
So moved.
Prior to the motion, we probably want to open public comment since we just finished the staff report.
Thank you. So we'll open it up for a public comment. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. We'll. Do you want to redo the motion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Approve budget adjustment for the Parks California grant for the field trips to state parks and beaches program in the Parks and Recreation Fund for $15,904.
Okay.
So moved.
Second. Oh, my mic was off, sorry. Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
And President Bernie?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to item 9D, workshop.
President Varney, members of the board. In 9D, we have prepared the draft preliminary budget. So this is the budget for fiscal year 2024-2025, and this will start July 1st. This item was also reviewed and recommended to this board by the Oceana Finance and Budget Committee on May 23rd. And based on your board's direction today, this will be brought back at the June 26th meeting for a formal public hearing. So this budget has been prepared fairly consistent with last year. You'll see the most changes in the general fund, and that's based on the divestiture of fire services that are coming our way in the next couple months. So we're gonna review the revenues and expenditures and any differences from last year and significant items. And I have a slide for each fund again. All right, starting in the general fund. So we have prepared this budget as if the divestiture process is completed by December 2024. This means we're only gonna get half of the estimated property taxes for the fire, lighting, and parks and rec funds. So that's gonna be about $660,000 opposed to like the 1.2 you saw in the last budget. Then under expenditures, the district will be paying for fire service through Five Cities Fire. Again, we'll get that agenda item also on the June 26th meeting, but that's only going to be through December 2024, and that'll be paid monthly, and it'll be around $142,000 a month. And I'll go over that more when I get to the fire fund, but that's just a little overview. Once the divestiture process is finalized, the district will only receive 3.85% of property taxes. So that'll be about $53,000 for the lighting and parks and rec department. So based on the fire department, we won't be in charge of fire as of, let's say, December 2024. Staff has recommended that we lower the fire allocation of these expenditures from 3% to 2%, so that'd be going down one. So since we won't be in charge of that, there will be less, obviously, administrative time going forward, especially in January through July. And then based on the onboarding and creation of our Oceano Parks and Rec Committee, and since we have our bylaws established, the committee meets monthly, we prepare agendas, minutes, grant compliance, we have proposed to increase that admin allocation from 0.5%, which it was last year for the Parks and Rec Department, and increasing it to 1.5. So it'll go up 1%. And I'll go over that more when we get into each of those funds. But basically, I'm just letting you know how the expenditures in this fund would be allocated to all the rest of the funds. And so that is a proposed change I have in the administrative fund. So fire would go from 3% to 2%. and Parks and Rec would go from 0.5% to 1.5%. Other new expenditures that you'll see in this administrative budget, there'll be a lease with the county. For this building we're in here, we'll be renting back from the county, and I only have the lease payments in there for half a year, just as expecting that the LAFCO process is done in December, and that'll be for $61,950. So going forward in the next years, it'd be about $122,000. I also have included the 2024 election costs. We have a CalPERS UAL payment of $24,000 included in this budget. We also have increased salaries and benefits by 4% based on the MOU service agreement with the employees. I've also proposed legal costs to increase by 10%, going from $75,000 to $85,000, because we may have a new, with the RFP going out, we'll have a new attorney getting on board. And then I've also increased classes and training, since we'll have an upcoming election and more training for employees and new board members. So that's in the administrative fund, so that goes over the changes I've made there from last year to this year. Are there any questions there? Okay, so next, fire fund. There's also changes in here that I kind of already touched on in the administrative fund, but we'll go over them. So based on the First Amendment to the contract with Five Cities Fire, which will be at the next meeting, the monthly cost will be $142,167 through December 2024, hopefully before, but so as you know, we ceased membership with Five Cities Fire July 1, 2023, and we are on a one-year contract with them. And as mentioned in the last slide, the admin allocation to this fund will go from 3% to 2%. We're going to lower it since we'll only be in charge of it for half the year. Any questions on fire? Okay. Lighting. So the proposed lighting fund has been prepared consistent with last year. No adjustment to admin allocation, just an increase in PG&E costs. And so that will increase the fund expenditures by $3,849. Parks and Rec Fund. So the proposed budget has been prepared similar to last year's. I basically used the estimated savings in the last item, which was about $13,000, and I moved it over to the next year. I've also incorporated a line item for events. I know last year we made a budget adjustment for an event of about $1,100, so this year we have included a line item for $1,300 for events. And then again, as I mentioned in the administrative fund, I have increased the costs for the admin allocation from 0.5% to 1.5%, so that would be taking it up to $16,523. So that would be a total of $31,553 for the budget. Any questions on that one? All right, facilities fund. There are some changes in this one as well. So we have half the year budgeted here to receive sheriff's rent. That's also going to be because of the divestiture. We won't be receiving the $122,000 we used to receive from rent, and we'll only be receiving half of that in the upcoming year. We also won't be receiving public facilities fees, which are fees developers or anyone building pays to the county for capital improvements for fire services. So those will start going to the county as well. We used to budget about $15,000 a year, so that went away as well. And then we've also, since we won't be in charge of the sheriff's building for the entire year, we've lowered the maintenance on the expenditure line for maintenance on the sheriff building as well. Any questions about sheriff's rent? For maintenance. Okay. Water budget. So the water rate revenues are projected to increase 7% from the previous year, and expenditures remain consistent with last year. The rates adopted in 2020, they included for each budget for the 5 years of that rates to include $150,000 towards capital improvements. So that's been happening since 2020. So that's also remains in capital improvements. Any questions on water? I know it seems weird to skip water so quickly. Okay. Wastewater budget. So this has been drafted with an operating deficit of $162,000. So the wastewater rates, unlike our water rates, they don't increase each year. The last rate increase was 2011. So funding will need to be addressed in the upcoming year, as well as deferred infrastructure. And since, so we have included $30,000 to professional fees to begin the wastewater system rate study. And so that is something different from last year, an increase to professional fees. Any questions on?
I wonder if at this point that it might be just helpful to the general public to just have a quick paragraph additional in terms of, because what it sounds like you're saying is that it's been a long while since there's been any change. The system needs maintenance, and in order to keep it safe and keep it operational, we're going to have to start doing more work, like we have been doing on the water system side.
Right.
This is the other side.
Exactly.
And so we're looking at a capital improvement project.
Yeah. Something similar to our water resource reliability program that we developed in the water fund with all those Prop 1 and 84 grants, where we have the list of 23 projects that will have to be developed also in the wastewater fund.
Yes, Mr. Brown. I'm sorry, Director Austin.
I'm not sure what you were saying.
Okay, well, what, Mr. Brown, would you like to?
Yeah, so I think what Ms. Cassiola is talking about is it's very common when you operate a water or a sewer utility to look at the system, do a system assessment, and setting aside $30,000 in the upcoming fiscal year will enable us to bring on an independent third party, assess the system, you know, how are our rates doing, are they sustainable? The fact that last year we were in the 90K negative, and this year we're looking at 162 pulling out of reserves for the sewer utility, that alone tells us that that's not a sustainable pattern. And so I think with respect to the rate payers, certainly it's nice when your rates don't go up since 2011. That's a wonderful thing. But at the same time, when it comes to looking at our pipe system, the level of root intrusion, the size and capacity of our lift station, things like backup generators that we will need for power outages, there's a whole litany of things that go with operating the sewer utility. And I think that what we're doing here is prudent in terms of the $30,000 for a rate study. Obviously, all of that information, the capital improvements proposed, the level of rate changes we may consider, those will all come before the board in the next 12 to 18 months.
Okay, I had trouble hearing Mr. Varney,
yeah.
So thank you.
Okay.
That makes sense. Okay.
And there would be, again, just like we have with our water capital improvement program, gone out and sought grant funding and received some significant support. This would be another area where we would be looking for grant funding to help
out. I would say it is less likely to get grants for sewer utility work. I think what happened with SB1 and with the drought and all of the state concerns with water quality and conservation and provision, there have been a lot of bonds that have come forward, and those bonds have enabled more water grants than we've had, say, in the prior 20 years as opposed to the last 10. On the sewer utility side, it's mostly understood that it's an important service, it's a critical service that we provide, and typically ratepayers pay for sewer improvements, okay, more so than grants. And that doesn't mean there aren't any. Uh-huh. I would just say they are fewer and far between compared to the water side.
Okay. Okay. Proceed, please.
Thank you. So next we have our garbage fund. So this has been prepared similar to last year, where the reduction in franchise fees received by the district from South County will continue to lower the Oceano customers' bills. So we're only receiving 5% when we could be receiving 10. So I prepared it that way as well for the next year. And then I know we discussed this earlier, maybe February of this year, South County Sanitary Inc. or Waste Management, they intend to submit a base year rate application for the upcoming year. So we should see that in the upcoming months. But other than that, that was very similar in expenditures. So the last item I have is the equipment fund, which is funded through the water, wastewater, and garbage fund. And we have included $65,000 in this budget to purchase an EV car for, because we have that EV charging station at the yards for water for reading water meters. So it would be a new electric vehicle for basically water reading meters. And is there any questions on that one?
Just curiosity, we're not buying a Tesla for our staff to drive around and check meters, are we? I mean, it kind of can just, so. What is going around and checking meters entail?
So most of our utility trucks have a lot of compartments for holding tools. This wouldn't have the whole truck bed like we bought with the large Ford. This would more just be, we have a 1994 Ford. That we use for basically only when they're reading water meters, because it doesn't have all the tools available for them. So it would be a car with, I would say, less gadgets than the one we just purchased, but good for getting around for things like meter reading, or even just a quick, simple customer service call.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. I like it.
Okay, thank you.
They're mostly just walking, you know, they just park and walk up and down.
Oh, they still have to walk.
Yeah, they walk a lot.
Sorry, those meters aren't automatic reading yet.
So I mean, to have
don't remind him.
A little that's a great idea.
Uh-huh.
I like it. Mm-hmm. And if it's a Tesla, who cares? That'd be nice. Put a little.
I don't.
Put a logo on the side.
So that's my last fund. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Go back to any slides, but. I'll take notes on any changes or suggestions you have, and then this will be back to your board on June 26th as a public hearing. So it'll be noticed in the paper, on our website, and available for the public for inspection if they want to come see the printed copy here at the office from 8:30 to 4:30.
At this point, we'll open it up for public comment on the budget. Seeing none, we'll close public comment and go to directors.
Go ahead. I have a question on where in the budget do we allot for new chairs?
Good. Very well. I should have
pointed said we can ask when it comes up at budget time.
Yes. No, good question. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, we have budgeted under office expenses, so we've increased that for the new chairs.
So we will be doing the
We said thanks. August.
August?
Did you want Tesla or Volkswagen?
We'll see. Whatever. Whatever the budget.
That's funny.
And I don't know if this goes in the budget or how we can start talking about it, but we've talked for years on the utility yard and upgrades to the utility yard. Is that something we can even start planning for? It's been years since start saving for or budgeting for.
I got a tour from Mr. Maricino of the yard, and I agree there's some needs there. We've already begun creative discussions, low-cost discussions to look at alternatives to provide them better workspace, air conditioning, functional bathrooms, all those type of things.
They don't have functional restrooms.
We are working on that, and so as we get a proposal together, we'll bring that back to you. In terms of where that is in the budget facilities, I don't know if there's any changes in the past year. Maybe you can speak to that.
Yeah, I prepared facilities pretty similar to last year, so that would probably require a budget adjustment once we got the proposals.
Yeah, okay. So if we have any specific changes, we can bring that back.
All right, I appreciate that. I think that's all. Anything else? Great. Thank you.
I had a couple questions. Was the water tank covered in our budget?
Excuse me, the what?
The water tank that we're finishing.
The water tank? So that's in the previous budget?
Right.
So any costs that aren't completed by the end of this year, they get encumbered, which will be done
right.
in August of 2024 when we do the final budget. You adopt your reserves, any encumbrances, so that means any expenses or revenues that haven't been incurred in this current year, so fiscal year 2023.
I guess, was it already included in the budget?
Last year's budget, so the okay. one we're in. I say last year, but the
okay.
current
was
year.
Was it grant money for that, too?
Yes.
Did you get grant money?
We got... $225,000 from the CBDG fund.
Right. So that was great that we got that.
And then I had a question on the fire with the divestiture change. I don't know if you can give me a number, but it's confusing. And so we're going to be paying rent. Then we will receive half of the sheriff's rent, no facility fees, and then 3.8 of the property tax. Like, is there, you know, a way to kind of see what our net is? Or
I know there's been, I believe it's, is that document in the county's letter, the document we've been reviewing where it shows, yeah. But that's more on the perspective of county. I can
right.
put together all the changes that are happening in a more consolidated form in an Oceano perspective, just, I mean, Oceano CSD perspective.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I think it's confusing to people to listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's like, how do you figure out in the end?
That would be helpful. I can add that to the beginning under the, yeah, I know where I'll put it.
Okay. For the fire item for next meeting. For the fire item for next meeting.
Oh, I could put it in the fire item, not the... yeah, that makes more sense.
It makes more sense because
yeah.
that's the what we're doing for the next 6 months.
Yeah, yeah under financial considerations.
Because
yeah,
we have it covered in the budget. You've covered yeah. in the budget.
Yeah. yeah, that makes sense. I'll put it in the fire item for the 26th.
Okay, great. I think that's that'll help me. Okay.
Any other questions?
No. Pretty straightforward. Thank you for all that work.
Of course. I think I do need a motion mm-hmm. to set the public hearing date for June 26th.
A motion that we set the public hearing for June 26th.
Second.
Vice President Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Varney?
Yes. And I understood, Ms. Cassioli, you also, you'll need a motion on changing fire and Oak Park share of administrative.
I don't think I'll need a formal. That'll just be adopted within the budget,
okay.
the final budget at the public
okay.
hearing.
All
the
right.
changes that I went over will be a part of the whole document. Thank you.
Then it appears we're finished with this item for this
yeah.
evening. Any other comments? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for the presentation and all the work that went into it.
Appreciate it.
We have no hearing. Excuse me. Moving on to hearing items, we have start with A, introduction of an ordinance adding the district code chapter 313 entitled district seal and logo.
Good evening again, Board. At your April 24th meeting, you directed staff to prepare an ordinance or a policy to prevent other parties from unauthorized use of our district seal and logo. Right now, our policies don't include anything or detail any regulations that govern the use of the district's official seal or district logo. There are certain California laws that prevent others from using district seals with the intention to misrepresent. And they also can't be used under the election code, and there's certain, you know, restrictions there. But as far as logo goes, there's nothing in state law that provides us any protection whatsoever. So it is good that we do adopt this ordinance. It'll provide the general manager with the authority on the use and empower him to send out letters if there's any violations of it. One thing, though, that came up that's kind of interesting is, and maybe I made the wrong assumption, I assumed our seal and logo are the same. We just have that. We don't have a separate logo.
Not that I can think
of. Yeah, I didn't think so. So my assumption was right there. But you did mention that Opark doing logos, and which is great, and if the district wanted to adopt another logo, but we'd probably come back and do a quick amendment at that time or soon thereafter to make sure that logo is mentioned, because right now we're protecting the seal and the logo as one, because that's all we have. And normally in other ordinances, you know, it'll say, you know, the logo, the seal is this, and the logo is, you know, it'll have that definition or a picture of it, so it's protected also. So we might have to come back, but that doesn't prevent us from adopting it tonight. It's just something that came up when I heard you mention that if we do an Opark or if we did a logo is something different. Sometimes it's something on that the employees wear that could be different than the seal, but it's not required to have a separate logo either. So with that, I'll answer any questions, and the recommendation is to approve the first reading of the ordinance by title only, and that's something I'll explain. I'm not sure you guys probably haven't done an ordinance in a while, but you'd read the title only after it's approved. That would add District Code Chapter 3.13 entitled District Seal and Logo. And with that, you can open up for public comment and then a motion.
Okay. We'll open this up for public comment. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Open it for discussion. Questions from the directors?
You recommend we do?
Yes, reviewed other ones, and you know, it's a sample of the one from the California League of Cities, and so it's pretty simple ordinance. It just protects it and allows this unauthorized use. They have to come for you for use, you know, so it can't be used by usually seen with real estate agents or other businesses mm-hmm. trying to use your seal, and this will be able for the general manager to very easily, if those issues come up, to be able to say to them, you know, ordinance 3.13 does not allow it, and you must remove it, or you'll be guilty of a misdemeanor.
Right. My question is, I don't know with regards to specificity, can we just put an S on it, like logos or?
Well, that means the S, if you copyright it or do something else, but then you got to spend the money on getting that copyrighted. So it's easier just by defining it in your ordinance, and then it can be protected. That's going to be cheaper to do as it comes along. So.
No, you mean put an S on here?
Huh? Oh, an S on logos? I'm sorry.
As opposed to having to come back like, yes. Oh, there's an Opark logo or there's this logo.
Oh, I'm
why
sorry.
Why can't we just
yes.
say logos?
Yeah, no, you can do logos. What I have done, though, is throughout this, I say the district seal and logo are the same, and logos are the same. So I don't differentiate between the two. So if we do have a separate one later on, we would have to just add that language in. It'd be a couple sentences. Yes, I would say, you know, exactly. There would be a B or C there that would say the district also has a Opark logo and describe that, and that would protect it then as opposed to it. But that, I mean, like I said, it can come back with just really just quick changes to it to get it done.
So.
Or if you wanted to wait until that was, then I could plug in the language that would approve it then and have it wait till next month.
So it actually the language needs to be such that it details some descriptive
yes.
of what the
mm-hmm.
thing looks like mm-hmm. as opposed to just the generic, like mm-hmm. you cannot use our logos
correct.
Or seals or correct. Whatever, mm-hmm. our name in your documents unless you have our permission.
Correct.
Okay. So the motion would be to accept this in title only tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
I can support that.
Need a motion?
Sure.
Well, I'll move that we adopt in title only an ordinance adding to the district code, chapter 313, entitled District Seal and Logo.
Second that.
President Varney?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And Vice President Joy Sonnison?
Yes.
Okay.
And then it's read like this. The ordinance of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services adding to the district code chapter 3.3 entitled District Seal and the District Logo.
Thank you. So that has been approved. We'll move to 10B. This is something that we've been talking about for a while, and regarding abatement of late fees, pending hearings, and application for relief.
Thank you, President Varney, members of the board. April 10th, your board reviewed this item. This was a recommendation that came out of the Oceano and Finance Committee originally. The amendment to the code will allow for late fees to stop once a customer has appealed their bill. Staff only has the ability to appeal or to reverse a late fee if the customer has been in good standing for 24 months and has waived their late fees. So this will give us the ability to turn off their late fees until they get their hearing, which from our standpoint will be much nicer than having to come back and ask. So with that, this will be similar to the last one where we'll have our hearing on the second reading on June 26th.
And so the wording of the motion this evening.
First page of the staff report.
Which is? Accept the public comment and then move for introduction and first reading of the ordinance by title only, amending ordinance 200601, entitled Relief of Application to Abate Additional Late Fees Pending the Hearing of the Application for Relief.
So open this up for public comment. Okay, seeing none, we'll close it for public comment. I will move to accept this motion as stated by our council.
Second. President Varney?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And Vice President Joy Sonnison?
Yes.
And this is an ordinance of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Service District modifying ordinance 2006-01, District Code 6.06.030.
Thank you for your work on this, Mr. Schultz. We'll move on to item 11, received written communications. There are none. Item 12, late received written communications. There are none. 13, future agenda items. Yes, on future agenda items, Mr. Brown?
Yeah, President Varney, I would like to let the board know that I'm working with Ms. Cassiola on a spreadsheet that kind of looks and maps out the next 2 to 3 months of items. We want to begin to include that so the board and the public can see what's on our future. Some of those items have pretty hard set dates and they probably won't be moved around. Others have flexibility. Others, as you have been doing in the past, can be suggestions of the board. What I'd like to do is really simplify that process, make it transparent, and kind of see if we can get as many items that the board is looking for that are pertinent to district business known and available and presented to the board. So just to let you know I'm working on that, and we'll continue to support you in bringing the items forward that you're looking for. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I have a future agenda item, or you want me to wait till next meeting? Okay, I wanted to do a review of the Brown Act.
My question, if there's support for that, would you like to do that at a meeting, or would you like to do that at a special meeting workshop? And I'd probably, at the same time as do Brown Act, I'd do a conflict of interest, because they're kind of related, and they're two of the most important issues that come up.
We can start fresh with the new one.
So just, we can schedule that at a meeting, or at a different time, and maybe when you see the tentative agenda that the general manager is doing, maybe that might decide whether you want to have it at a special meeting or not. But I try to do those in all the jurisdictions I've been with. I've always tried to do that about the same time around the budget time. So this is a good time. Yeah. The refresher is always around July.
I think so.
Well, I'd like it in open session myself, but
I think it should be at a regular meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, just.
All right, we'll figure out one.
Need to have a special meeting.
It can take a little bit longer.
Does it take a long? It doesn't take that long.
It'll be a good hour.
Oh, okay.
But that's fine. We'll figure out an agenda maybe that isn't as busy.
If we need a second, I'll second it.
So it's been moved and seconded, and that officially puts it on the agenda spreadsheet. Okay. And I think the only comment I wanted to make, that, you know, our bylaws specify that two directors in a meeting can call for something to be on the agenda, and that qualifies it to be on the list. And then the president has authority to put something on the agenda either in a meeting or, you know, outside of meetings. And those are the two ways that things get on the agenda.
Well, the third way, President Varney, is just general order of business. So we have a lot of business, a lot of items we need to bring. So I would say those are the majority of the items, and we'll continue to do that. But absolutely, yeah, I think we'll continue to use what the bylaws say, but I think it's also going to be a little more simple and a little more clear going forward. And so it sounds like July is a good time to get this item before you.
Yeah, and even that's part of it also. Reviewing the bylaws is also important to do on a yearly basis. So it would be the bylaws, the Brown Act, and the conflict of interest all wrapped up into one.
Okay. Any other agenda items? Okay. Future hearing items. I think what we've already identified, these two will be coming back for finalization.
And the final budget.
And the final budget.
Preliminary budget.
Okay. We have no report out of, there's no more closed session issues. meeting adjourned. Wham.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.